Yes, I. This is Dr. Allie Evans, welcoming you to Light on Health, a show where we shine the light on a full spectrum of topics that affect your health and that of our entire community. My guest today is Sally Anderson from Yoga Gypsy, and we're going to be talking about really demystifying yoga and what yoga is to our normal human people and not to the way we see it in magazines. So welcome to the show, Sally.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. Like I said, I can't believe we've been doing this show for 2 years and have never talked about yoga. It's about time.
Yes.
So first, let's just hear a little bit about you and how you landed in Astoria in the most beautiful yoga studio ever and how you kind of came to find yoga.
Great. Yes, I've been practicing yoga for about 30 years. People say really 30 years, but I was 18. And it started with the early Alan Finger DVDs and what was available at that time. But it grew into finding teachers that resonated where I was in that stage of life.
Where were you living?
In California, Northern California at the time. But I moved to Oregon when I was 20. And so then I found a number of teachers over the years, I'd say about three really integral teachers that brought different elements that would just propel me to the next level and then propel me to the next level. And I could just take an eclectic style of what they were providing and incorporate that in my life, which included a little self-study.
Yes.
And then propelled me to the level to enter into a teacher training program. So it was in 2013, I'd already been teaching for a while, that I entered into a 200-hour program with Leslie Ellis in Heart Song Wellness in Beaverton, Oregon, and I fell in love with the style of what she provided, which was yoga therapy. She's a yoga therapist and formerly an occupational therapist. So she took that lens of yoga therapy and therapeutic yoga through Hatha Yoga, and all the elements, the energetic system of yoga, the koshas, the layers of being, all these different aspects into helping people's bodies heal from different things as well as the mind. So there's a lot of mindfulness and breath. And so it was there that I developed my style of teaching and went on. She invited me back to be the program assistant the next year, which was so fabulous because it reiterated everything that I learned. And I was helping the teachers learn from this aspect and sequencing how to prepare the body for different movements and whatnot through that style. And I've also been involved with another yoga therapist in Portland, Sarah Joy Marsh, who also lends this, which has defined and refined working with the pathology of disease through an Ayurvedic lens. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, is this a movement disorder like Parkinson's? Is this which would be a Vata imbalance, and how can we look at that and treat that in a grounding way through these poses of yoga? So there's a lot of that element as well.
And let's, for a minute, I just want to paint this picture of what I see in with my patients and what I see people, I kind of understand yoga to be. So what I see is that people think of yoga as super black and white. Either you are sitting cross-legged, stilling your mind, thinking of nothing else, and in deep meditation for an hour, which most humans in our society are like, heck no, I can't do that.
Right.
Or it's you are contortionist. You have this perfect body and you can wrap your leg around your head and, you know, do these sort of magazine postures.
Yes.
And I think that is very black and white. I think the really where 99.9% of humanity lives is in the gray area in between, which is kind of what yoga is, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the biggest things that I have people telling me is, well, I don't come to yoga because I'm not flexible.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly why you should come to yoga. Or I have a hip injury, or I have a knee injury or a shoulder injury. I am a perfect example of that. I've had injuries in my ankles, my knees, a frozen shoulder. And it was because of the healing modality of yoga. How can I get better range of motion? How can I repair or prevent these conditions through this style of yoga that really excited me into this passion.
And so that idea of yoga will meet you where you're at. It's not that you have to be at a place before you start yoga.
Exactly. And I think with the lens of the therapeutic style of yoga, it really looks at what is it that you're trying to accomplish by the pose, not the picture of the pose. And yoga therapy and therapeutic yoga says, how can I teach this person?
Yes.
Not the pose.
That, which
and then
is...
that way, because you can get whatever that action is that the pose is trying to create in your body, it's just going to look different than everyone else because it's a manifestation expression of your body.
And you mean we're not all cookie cutters?
No.
Shocking.
And so, I mean, we have poses called hip openers in yoga. And what we're really looking to do there is how can we get better range of motion? And I love the fact that yoga that we teach today is very much related to the yoga of the sutras, is how
which
can,
is really the ancient yoga as
yes,
it was first taught.
Yes, yes. It was developed, say, how can we sit for long hours in meditation? Well, now our issues are different, but how can we sit to drive to this grocery store and drive to go home and sit to eat and sit at our job? Well, it creates imbalances in the body, tight lateral rotators, hip flexors. So I look at, and I can see it in a body, how can I bring balance by this movement, or how can we, with kindness, ahimsa, approach this movement so you can get it in your body and offset our lifestyle?
And I think that word you just said, ahimsa,
yes,
is the word in Sanskrit means, does
kindness.
It mean loving kindness,
yes,
or kindness?
Right.
Wouldn't that just that be enough for all of our society if that was all it offered? And
yes,
we could take that theme into everything,
yes,
we do instead of forcing these heroic,
exactly,
postures and these heroic movements and exercises, but really this way of having kindness just for ourselves.
Exactly.
Not
that,
just in our poses, not
right,
just in movement, but in everything
right,
we do.
And that translates so off the mat, kindness to ourselves and kindness to others. And a lot of the, sometimes being unkind is a busy schedule.
Yeah.
So when you make the time to come to a yoga class and spend that hour, that's kind.
Yeah.
And then I love the tickling out of sequencing in language. So the language I use is to help slow down, be more receptive, to be more kind, starting every session with breath and mindfulness. A lot of times that ends up being the sequence. How can we ground? How can we let go? And then when we are approaching these tighter places in the body with kindness, that we're spending a lot of time to warm it up before
mm-hmm,
we go into a particular pose.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's back up for 1 second. Mm-hmm. I want to share with the listeners, I think everyone has a different idea. When you say the word yoga, I think mm-hmm, there are different images come into people's minds. To you, what is yoga?
I really had this epiphany most recently when I received the studio back and then branched out on my own, is that I was sitting in front of all the students that came together for that moment. And if you look at what the Sanskrit translation is, it's yoke, it's union.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking around going, it's more than just the union of your mind and your body and your spirit that can be both Western and Eastern in ideology, but it's the union of the community coming together to practice together. And I think that is so needed at this time.
And I have to say that going and taking classes in your studio, I often say that to friends who I'm saying, oh, you should come. I often say it's such a lovely group of people,
yes,
coming together, and
yes,
you feel that kind of community spirit.
Right. I agree.
And I know you also, just as an aside, you also have a class at the hospital for chronic illness and cancer. That,
yes,
same idea, bringing a community together that kind of share this story.
Absolutely. It's a psychosocial network as well, but there is so much research and study about quality of life and the benefits of yoga. It started with cancer with metastases, and it branched out to different areas because it was such a positive benefit. We've been doing it for about 2.5 years now, and we branched out to pulmonary. So you can start to see this underlying underbelly of the connection, and then also to chronic illness. So this could be anything from connective tissue disease, rheumatoid arthritis, chronic conditions, as well as those pre and post hip replacements, which I'm very familiar working with, or pre and post knee replacements. And it's such a lovely group bringing that. It's the quality of life. Some of the feedback I've had is, oh, after taking your class, I can go garden. And this is from mm-hmm, cancer patients, that they were limiting what they could do. And by especially the breath and the mindfulness, calming the nervous system, because that's a huge portion of what I do that I've been given through training, is using that language and tapping into diaphragmatic breath to calm the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
What can reduce high blood pressure, what can lower blood pressure, what can reduce heart rate. These breath is amazing.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And we live in a society where I think where we came from evolutionarily, and where we are is like our physiology, our body hasn't caught up. So we're living in a society that moves at speeds that are way too fast. We hold ourselves to standards that are way too high.
Right.
We all, you know, are moving at an insane speed.
Right.
And that idea of being able to calm down is almost impossible
for
people.
Exactly. There's a lot of type A driven, and I'm one of those. And it's funny, in yoga trainings, you see a lot of them. We come to this to temper that.
That's right.
And I do. We live in such a forward momentum world. A lot of the language and the poses that I do are to step back and also non-striving. Because what I've seen also is this translation of even overdoing our yoga. And I've been blessed to have these teachers passed on. And consider this, how would you slow down? How would you unravel? How would you undo? And how would you approach your yoga if you weren't striving and efforting so hard?
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing. And I watch people transform right in front of me.
Well, and one of my favorite things in your classes is sometimes you'll say, okay, like, we've arrived in this pose, now back off 5%.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, that's a possibility? Wow.
Yes. That's
and that difference.
Balancing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so for people who, I think I was telling you before, I had a yoga teacher who said he had studied from a long lineage of very famous yogis. And he said, this was, you know, maybe 5 years ago, he said, the purpose of doing yoga is to get you in touch with living out your life purpose. So looking at that wider lens beyond even bringing our body and our nervous system into balance, but asking, well, why do we even want to do that? Well, we become better people. Well, why do we want to do that? Well, we actually can manifest what we came here to do in this lifetime. Like, such a big, I think what it offers is so much greater than what people sometimes think of as freedom from body pain or increased flexibility or weight loss or whatever their reasons are.
They get all of that.
Plus
and a
more.
Lot of people come to the practice of yoga through asana, which are the postures, the physical practice, and then they leave with something more. And I was one of those people when I went into the physical asana, and I realized right away that there was so much more to be had. And it does provide a certain amount of clarity.
Yeah.
When you calm your nervous system and you tap into a deeper part of yourself, what it is that you want to create.
That's right.
How do you serve others?
That's right. And I think trying to tell yourself to calm your nervous system by telling your brain directions doesn't work. Like, we often, you know, I've heard a therapist once before that I had on the show saying, you often have to have people do something that is rote for them. It's something they know. Like he was saying, you can calm by riding a bike if you know how to ride a bike, or knitting, but that you often have to kind of trick the mind by using the body. You have to trick the mind to calm down. And I see yoga as doing that as well. You're focused on doing the poses and breathing. And by doing that, all of a sudden, oh, wow, your mind actually slowed down for a minute, but it's not a conscious process.
Exactly. And that, I think, where language with skilled teachers, language to help cultivate that environment and giving a single point focus, like the breath. And then saying things like, if your mind takes a field trip, kindly usher it back to what you're doing, the space of the low belly, breathe into that space. And by arriving on the mat with your body and this practice of mindfulness, simply being present and getting out of your head and into the body, noticing sensations, there you go, calming the mind. And then adding that arrival with the breath. The third is the mind. How do you disengage from that superhighway of thoughts? It's going all the time. You don't have to clear the mind. There's another, I would say, myth that you have to completely clear the mind. It's not going to clear.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, but if you could get underneath that superhighway by creating this focus, like, I'm really only going to focus on my breath right now, then you create that environment for yourself.
That's what I always found when I started doing yoga. I always found like, oh, wow, I wasn't thinking about what I was making for dinner or what had to happen, but it wasn't conscious. It wasn't like, okay, stop thinking about that.
Right.
My therapist always says, the best way, like, if you want someone to focus on belly breathing, for example, you tell them, don't think about your belly button. Don't think about your belly button. And all of a sudden you're breathing into your belly button.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I agree.
We are talking with Sally Anderson about yoga and a modern look at what yoga is and can offer us. I'm Dr. Allie Evans, and this is Light on Health. We'll be right back. Yes, You're listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio. I'm talking with Sally Anderson, and we're talking about yoga and what yoga can offer to us in our modern, fast-paced society. So talk for someone who's never stepped foot in a yoga class, tell us what it looks like and what to expect and kind of what yoga is for people who really have they've never even stepped foot.
Yes, and I have a number of people come in just in that scenario. And yeah. I'm even meeting with people beforehand just to give them the tour of the space.
An orientation.
This is what you expect. So you walk in, and if you're new, you would have a registration sheet, one sheet, very simple. And then I would do a little intake. Do you have any injuries? Anything going on in the body? Have you done yoga before? Only to give me a sense of where that person is. And then as I go through a group setting, you have a lot of different people to be moderating. I have a sequence for that day, whatever that essence is, maybe opening up the tight lateral rotators or working with hip flexors that day. And then each class would start with grounding in breath. And very important, because of the vagus nerve regulation that can happen here and creating new pathways for the brain.
And for those that don't know, the vagus nerve is your calming nerve. It's your parasympathetic, calm the body, heal the body nerve.
And so after that bit of grounding and breath, I get a sense of where someone is. I can read their energy, and I can see, you know, what is it that they need in this process? How can I make them feel more comfortable? And the people that come in are so great, at the energy of the room and the people that have been drawn to this practice. And then we go through a warm-up. So each class sequence, the 5 minutes of breath and grounding, preparing the body. And a lot of times the sequence will be so much about slowly preparing the body with kindness that you can go a little bit deeper without even realizing it. So a good warm-up session, about 15 minutes, and then the meat of the class, and then a cool-down into a final relaxation pose. It's very non-invasive, mm-hmm. so people can set into a corner and experience their practice themselves. This is their practice. You don't have to feel like you're part of a group, but at the same time can be in that collective energy as well.
And I have to just say that it's when you walk in, it's sort of a marvel that it's all ages, all genders, all body types, all abilities.
Yes.
It's really such a real life slice of humanity.
Yes.
And people can do any modification of the pose. It's just, you know, I always try to kind of debunk that image of what we see on the cover of the magazine, which is not what most people are doing for yoga.
Right, exactly.
And arguably it's this, you get the same exact effect whether you can do that pose or whether you look nothing like that pose and have, you know, body limitations or anything like that.
Exactly.
It's the same. You still get as much out of it.
Right. If not more.
If not more. That's
because you approach it with kindness. Because the more we try to force or strive or push a pose, that's not going to work. That doesn't work in life. It doesn't work in yoga. But if you approach it with a different attitude, and a lot of times the poses are get into this pose, and now whatever opening can emerge on its own. Because you don't have to do anything.
Right.
Right. And it's a gentle pose, but you're still getting like, whoa, that stretch to the hips or the quadriceps, the thighs, which get so tight. And I walk around when I teach. So I'm not actually doing yoga except for a demonstration with the class. And I walk around and I can make modifications when I see something out of alignment. And it's really not the idea that I'm going to fix your pose, but I'm here to enhance your experience in this.
Yes. Mm. And something works because people keep coming back over again.
Very excited that people are coming.
So tell us a little bit about what yoga therapy is and how that enhances the experience of teaching yoga and the experience for people coming in.
The lens of yoga therapy, really we look at how do we teach the person in front of us, not the pose. Like, I'm not going to just teach triangle pose to you. I'm going to say, how can you get the action in your body that pose is trying to tickle out? And in that process, why are we doing it anyway? What are you trying to get out of this? So I approach the person where they are, and how can we get this better range of motion or lengthening of the spine? What conditions do you have that are influencing your experience in yoga? I created a new class since the studio, therapeutic specialty class. I love this class, and it's becoming a new favorite. So I'll rotate things through, like yoga for sciatic pain, 40%. Whether it's piriformis syndrome or back-related issues, people have this pain. How can we unravel?
40% of people have sciatic pain, is what you're
saying. Will have sciatic pain when they're alive. 50% of people over 50, osteoporosis. Today's class, because it's Tuesday at 10:30, this class is yoga for osteoporosis. So there's lovely things. It's like, well, I don't have osteoporosis. Well, you can prevent it.
That's
how
right.
do you do that through That's yoga? Right. Weight-bearing. Bone density. And you can look at a person. I have a lovely student who is absolutely beautifully physically fit, but she has osteoporosis to an advanced degree. And so as a yoga teacher, having the lens and training of yoga therapy, I know that I'm not going to put her in child's pose to flex the spine because that could be damaging. However, there are some lovely poses that can elongate the spine. And the weight-bearing aspect to build bone density, which is great at any age.
That's right.
And then to know the difference between those, osteopenia and osteoporosis. But then I rotate yoga for a healthy back, yoga for the knees and the feet. I get so passionate about these body parts that you can care for.
Yeah.
And prevent injury and even cease progression of certain diseases through this lens.
That's right. And the classes, you have classes, let's talk a little bit about what you do offer. You have classes Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday right now.
Okay.
And each day, so I have a 10:30 every day of the week, and they're different rotating topics and types of classes. But I also have gentle yoga. So there's two-night gentle yoga classes where you can detox from your day and ease into your evening and let go of the stress and the tension that resides in the shoulders and the hips. So that's 5:30 Monday and Wednesday. And then two morning classes, because this I'm trying to reach the people that want 2 days consistently.
Yeah.
So I have two 8:30 classes, 8:30 on Wednesday, a general class, and then shoulders and hips, which has been a favorite for a
yes.
lot of people on
yes.
Friday mornings. As well as a mindful flow on Thursday to put all the alignment principles in. If you wanted to flow through the poses, how would you do that mindfully
right.
with kindness?
Because I think yoga, and you, I'm sure you would agree, it can be really damaging for people when they don't do it. Not, I don't want to say correctly, but when they're pushing too hard or they're not doing it with kindness to the body.
Right. I agree with that because Hatha yoga is an alignment-based practice. Alignment of the knees, alignment of the hip, alignment of the spine. And having that information of knowing what that alignment is, like even the tilt of the pelvis, where should that be for body health? And how do we undo some of the 80s fitness era?
Right.
Right. So
the Jane Fonda
right,
that I grew
exactly,
up watching my mom do.
Mind you. So, yeah. So it is very much an alignment-based practice. And so getting into alignment with a few cues so that it's not serial awareness and that you can start to put the layer of mindfulness and breathe into it. That's the piece, I think, that brings it all together.
Yeah. And yoga, when it first started, you know, this kind of ancient yoga, am I wrong or did it not even have postures and asana? It was just breathing.
Right. A good teacher training program, you read the Yoga Sutras. This is the ancient text of yoga. And it takes
the
probably
Bible
three or four trainings to really digest this material. I'm like four trainings in. And the earlier, the sutras, they're great. They mention asana, I think, about three times. So a lot of the original element really was, how can we calm the nervous system? And it's so beautiful because they're saying the same things that we're saying now with different language.
Yeah.
You can just westernize it. You can call it therapeutic. And how can we sit longer to do what it is we need to do, which was meditate, usually in that case. But yes, there are so much more layers. And then there's the energetic system of yoga, which when they do mention yoga in the Yoga Sutras, it's Hatha yoga, which is a balancing of energy. So if you think about the energy rising up, sun, and the energy that's more calming, lunar, and we have these parts in our body, through the nose, the nadis, and all this. So balancing the energy. And when I put together a sequence, I have this very much in mind. I've got all these different layers. For me, it's like a subplot of a good movie.
Yeah.
And I don't even talk about it sometimes. I'm like, ooh, I'm putting this in and this and this and then layering it with the asana practice. And I think that's why that people are coming back. And I think that's why they're having an experience rather than just feeling like, well, I've been stretched today.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's sort of like you go eat a really incredible meal that tastes great on your plate, but you have no idea, like, oh, it's because this local farmer grew that tomato
exactly.
that was then slow roasted in the oven. Like all the kind of behind the scenes of what goes on to give you that experience.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's my passion. That's my fun. How can I get more training? How can I get more? And I write sequences for every class to tickle that out. Like, how are we going to get there? There'll be an inspirational theme, some sort of opening or esoteric right brain activity going on. And then there's this linear sequence to go with it. And I think that's what really solidifies for me that yoga is both an art and a science.
And I think one of the things that if I could summarize my whole medical practice and all chronic illness and what I see in the office, it's all of us holding ourselves to standards that are unattainable and superhuman. And there's something about the idea and what you're talking about with yoga therapy, this idea of treating the individual, like embracing the individual with kindness.
Yes.
If we could just get to this point where we let down a little bit of this pressure we put on ourselves to move at this speed, to accomplish, to exceed, to do all these, you know, I think we hold ourselves to extremely superhuman expectations, and we can't meet it. And then we suffer because we can't meet something that's not even possible.
Exactly. And I think that's what personally for me, yoga and meditation has helped me find balance in, because it's not just the physical imbalances of the body, it's that that living in a world such as we live. This is it. So how do we better manage that?
Right. Yeah. And I have to say to everyone listening who this would be, you know, if they stepped foot in a class, it would be the very first time ever. Anyone can do it. It's not about like sitting in deep meditation for hours. It's really, you present it in such a way that it is, anyone can walk in off the street and have a really incredible experience day one.
Yes. Yes. That's what I try to do. And I feel like it's happening for those that are coming in. And I'm so excited. I did cover a couple terms at the college, and it was so lovely because a lot of the young people that were coming in thinking they were going to get an easy credit class, they found out they left with a lot more than they bargained for. And a lot of that was first experience, people who never did yoga before. And so I felt, what a beautiful place for me to be this first experience. Because sometimes, I mean, if you have this experience where you're trying to do this crazy pose and you're like, oh, I'm never doing yoga again.
Yeah,
I hurt myself.
And you leave not walking for three days.
Just to be that, right. Right, to be that place where here's what it can be for you.
Yeah.
Where are you going to take it on the mat?
That's right.
I'm just here to facilitate.
That's right. And tell us, so everyone now is super excited to come in for a yoga class.
Yay.
So tell us where your studio is, how they get information about
Absolutely.
It and your website and all that.
Great. So Little Red Building on the Water, 399 31st Street in Astoria. So the same street that Dr. Gozer's vet. I still call him Dr. Gozer's vet, but that
the
same
vet
street.
Office.
That office. Thank you. And then I have a website up where you can actually book classes online. You could either pay for them online or just come in, or you could just show up because I'm honoring the people that are just coming in, or call or text or email. So I have both Facebook and website. The website is www.yogagypsysally.com.
Yogagypsysally.com.
Yes. Okay. And so you can find a lot of information there. There is a link to Facebook to the Sally Anderson Yoga page.
Okay.
With lots of upcoming events. So there's going to be an open house. There's going to be a day of mindfulness with Jerry Braza coming into the community in combination with Cindy Nimmowell, who does the work. And we're going to hold that at the studio. I'm very excited. And you can see that event as well as other events. I'm going to be starting a beginner's workshop, which is really helpful for those that are new to yoga and just want to do it in a smaller setting, like get studio etiquette. What do I do? I just don't want to walk into this scenario. And that's been a very popular workshop. I'm going to add in the specialty workshops as well that will coincide with a therapeutic rotation class. So lots of good information there.
Yeah. YogaGypsySally.com.
Yes.
That's great. And Classes are usually an hour long, super doable.
Yes.
You can take that moment out of your schedule and do a Superman change in your bathroom and change into your yoga clothes and back into your work clothes. And
absolutely.
I might be speaking from experience.
Yes. But. You do really well at that.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I wish I was going to class now.
Yes.
I'm kind of excited. Okay. And anything else? Any other final parting words or thoughts you didn't get in?
No, I think that about covers it. I would like to see all of you there in class.
Yes, as would I. You've been listening to Light on Health with my guest, Sally Anderson, talking about yoga. A very special thank you to Sally and a very special thank you to our engineer, Joanne Rideout. It's my hope that we have enlightened and empowered you to take one tiny step forward, perhaps into a yoga class, towards your own radiant health. Have a great week.